All right, let's go out to the lines, man. One of my favorite color commentators in all of the NBA. He gives you everything he got. I'm telling you, Joe Myers and Antonio Daniels, one of the best combinations in the NBA. You can hear him on SiriusXM. You hear him on the Pelican Television Network, of course. And they'll be out here for a double dip tonight, which is a national televised game on TNT. And then tomorrow, which you can catch right here locally on NBC Sports Bay Area. The Pelicans come in at 2-1 with a slew of injuries, but a big-time expectation this year to take a leap in a Western Conference. Antonio, welcome to the Morning Roast here at the River Islands Guest Line. What's going on with your brother? Happy NBA season.
Yes, I hear that. Happy NBA season. What's up, fellas? Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, anytime, man. We love having you on whenever you think about the Pelicans. Hell, we think about basketball. We think about you. And, of course, Eddie Johnson is also over there at SiriusXM Radio. So the Pelicans, we saw them a lot last year, and you guys took it to the Warriors, especially here at Chase Center. And I know you're missing a couple guys here, which we'll get into here, but I love the additions with DeJounte Murray, Trey Murray for the third, one of my favorite players. He's out for the foreseeable future, but they lit him up. So coming into the season, after last year kind of ended with a dud there with the injuries in the play-in game, what are the expectations for the Pelicans this season?
Well, I think the expectations are to finish in the top six. You know, the thing is, the West is deeper than it's ever been. That's a given. But you basically have 13, 14 teams competing for 10 spots. And every year you want to get better. So you don't want the Pelicans, you don't want to continue to find yourself in a play-in scenario. Mm-hmm. You don't. And right now you have a team that's talented enough. You have enough star power, right? You have enough firepower to work your way into the top six. That way you don't have to worry about the whole play-in situation. Do you have to play yourself into the playoffs, lose the first game, win the second game, whatever it may be? Top six.
You know, the Warriors have a bunch of guys that were dangled in trades all offseason, whether that was real or just speculated upon by the media. The same thing can be said for Brandon Ingram. I heard his name in a million different trade scenarios all offseason. Where is he at with the team right now? How's he playing? How does he feel about the situation? What's going on with Brandon Ingram?
Well, I'll tell you this first and foremost. We had training camp in Nashville. And obviously, anytime you're talking about a contractual situation, it's tough. It's tough. So what happens is B.I. now is on the last year of his contract. And guys can come into camp two ways. Guys can come into camp where they're pouting and upset because they didn't come to some sort of agreement to start training camp. Or guys can come in more motivated than anything else. And I'm not saying this to be biased whatsoever. Being in Nashville for training camp, Brandon Ingram had the best training camp of anybody there. B.I. was 1A. Jordan Hawkins was 1B. Mm. As far as being impressive in camp, the first two games, B.I. averaged 27 points per game. In those first two, 7.5 rebounds per game. He's getting up a lot more three-point attempts. This is something they talked to him about in the summertime. So what's nice to see, because the thing is, you never know. In training camp, I've seen guys play well in training camp, and then the regular season starts and they struggle. And I've seen guys struggle in training camp, and the regular season starts, and they're in a great rhythm. Right now, in these first three games, B.I. is not letting that contract situation stand in between him and how he's playing. I love the attitude and the mentality that he's come into this season with.
Antonio Daniels, he's an NBA champion, also the color commentator for the New Orleans Pelicans, joining us here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? So you just said 1A and 1B, and you mentioned Brandon Ingram's being 1A right now, Jordan Hawkins as 1B, as having good camps in Nashville, Tennessee. And I do love Jordan Hawkins, a second-year pro out of UConn. He can light it up with the best of them. But you didn't mention Zion Williamson. And obviously, he's box office. And that's the guy I feels like, boy, if he can take that next step and just stand on the court, you guys would be in that top six and be a threat in the Western Conference. Where's Zion Williamson at right now, Antonio?
Well, here's the thing. When I say 1A and 1B, what I'm referencing is guys that, to me, had the best training camp. Mm-hmm. And leaving Z out doesn't mean he had a bad training camp. But B.I. stood out to me because I'm watching with a different lens. I'm watching to see his approach into camp. Jordan Hawkins stood out to me because I'm watching to see if he took that proverbial step from year one to year two as far as confidence is concerned. Zion was Zion in camp. Z was Z. And then the thing that happened is he has yet to find his rhythm yet in this season so far. So the last preseason game, he was out the last preseason game, and then he was sick. He got sick, had a bug, missed the home opener versus Chicago Bulls. So he was on a minutes restriction versus the Portland Trailblazers in this little baseball series that was down there. So it's a matter of time before he works himself into the rhythm that we're accustomed to seeing him in. Thing that we've always kind of attached to Zion is efficiency. You know, 60% from the field, 70% from the field. If you look at his first two games, that's been off because his rhythm hasn't been there yet. But if you look at the first game against the Portland Trailblazers, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. So he found different ways to contribute, but I think it's a matter of time before he finds that rhythm and hits the ground running.
No Trey Murphy III. He was awesome last year.
He's so good.
Everybody in Warrior Land was falling in love with him. And no DeJounte Murray. How big of a loss is DeJounte Murray, and how big of a loss is Trey Murphy in the small term?
Well, I think it's huge. It's huge for different reasons, though. DeJounte Murray is because he is a traditional point guard. And point guard, for me, it's a lot of guys in this league that have a point guard skill set but don't have a point guard mindset. And the position, to me, is not a skill set, it's a mindset. It's thinking the game like a point guard, thinking the game like a quarterback, understanding time, score, situation, what's needed and when it's needed. And that's why DeJounte Murray, that's why you trade Dyson Daniels, that's why you trade Larry Ness Jr., to bring in DeJounte Murray. Because if you look at last year in clutch situations, that was the New Orleans Pelicans' Achilles heel. They struggled down the stretch, understanding where the ball needed to go. How do I get it there? Whose turn is it to shoot? Who has it going? How can I put this guy in a position of success? And if you watch the first game versus the Chicago Bulls, DeJounte Murray did a great job of putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And that's what you bring him in for. But you got to find a way to figure it out over this next 4 to 6 weeks being without him. Trey Murphy, for a completely different reason, right? The fact that he's 6'10", can shoot from distance with accuracy, and you want to play small. You want to finish small on a lot of nights. Because remember, Jonas isn't here anymore.
Yep.
Larry Nance is not here anymore. Cody Zeller's not here anymore. So a lot of times you'll find yourself playing small ball. Trey Murphy being 6'10", with the ability to shoot from 25, 30 feet with accuracy, that's missed. That's missed right now. And I remember when last year, I believe it was, when I came on with you guys,
yep,
and I said, you know, talked about Trey Murphy being in a Splash Brother conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember so many people from Golden State, like, oh my God, this guy, he's so off. What is he talking about? And then that night, he went out and hit 5 shots from 30 feet or more.
Yep.
And again, it's not a creature of the moment, prisoner of the moment situation. It's what I see every day in practice, right? There are certain guys, for whatever reason, can shoot from distance with accuracy and with little effort. And Trey Murphy is one of those guys. So when you have guys like Zion, when you have guys like B.I. that carry so much gravity, you need guys to give them space.
You know, AD, on Trey Murphy III, and I remember when you said that, and I watched him in warm-ups, and Corey mm-hmm. Brewer's out there, and I was like, wow, he hasn't missed a shot. He had like 10 right. straight threes from, you know, 5 feet from beyond the three-point line, and his defense is really good. At times, he's switching on to Steph Curry with that length and that big wingspan. I know in the pre-draft combine, or when he came out to work with the Golden State Warriors, I think he was in the Bay Area for like 3 days. And they didn't want him to leave the building. They were falling in love with this guy. And I'm thinking, boy, what could have been with Trey Murphy III? Now, Moses Moody, I think he's going to be a good player for the Golden State Warriors. And they just extended him. But his defense as well, AD. Trey Murphy right. III is one of those guys who could defend and be one of these two-way players in the league.
Yeah, and the thing is, people forget. Growth isn't linear. People forget. Like, Trey Murphy just re-upped this summer. North of a $100 million contract. And he's worth every penny. But people forget, 2 years ago, he got sent down to the G League. He got sent down to the G League because exactly what you're talking about, Monte, he was not ready yet mm-hmm. defensively. Offensively, that's always been there, right? The length, yep. the stroke, that's always been there. The toughest side of the ball for most guys is defensively, especially rookies and second-year players. And he was struggling defensively. Now the light has come on, and he's figured some things out as far as confidence is concerned. Not just offensively, but how to use what the Lord has blessed him with. He's blessed him with length, athleticism, and a huge wingspan. So he's not the strongest guy, but now he understands angles and how to use the athleticism on the defensive side of the ball.
What's your outside looking in view of the Golden State Warriors? Do you fear them at all?
I fear Steph Curry. I mean, I don't think you can't say I don't fear the Golden State Warriors because they still have Steph Curry. And I know that's it's a very simplistic answer, but that's how I feel. If you have Steph Curry, you have a chance. Plain and simple, because he's that good. We all saw the Olympics. We all saw what he's capable of. His body of work speaks for itself. And it's not simply being the greatest shooter of all time, but there's no more valued skill in today's NBA than the ability to shoot the ball. There's not a player in the league that carries more gravity than Steph Curry does, with and without the ball. You have great players. Giannis with the ball, Jokic with the ball. Go down the list of different players in this league. But when Steph Curry comes off screens, all 10 eyes are still looking at him. So I don't think there's a guy in the league that carries as much gravity as Steph Curry does, whether he has the ball in his hands or whether he's running off screens without the basketball. Do I fear the Golden State Warriors? I think you have to fear the Golden State Warriors because they still have Steph Curry.
Interesting there. And they're obviously not going to have Stephen Curry tonight. He's going to be reevaluated at the twist of his ankle Sunday night against the Clippers, where the Clippers controlled the pace throughout the game and really took it to the Golden State Warriors here. On the outside looking in, as you mentioned, feared Stephen Curry and whatnot. But I got to ask you, how weird is it going to be walking into the gym knowing that number 11 Klay Thompson is now playing in Dallas?
Right.
He looks good in the Mavericks uniform, AD. He's lighting it up.
It is, because he can shoot. That's the thing. Again, there's no more value skill in today's NBA than the ability to shoot the ball. Nothing. And it is different. I saw a thing on social media today where, and I believe it's against Utah, where Steph throws the ball behind his back and he throws it out of bounds. And it's almost like that's where Klay Thompson used to be. Mm. You know, I'm accustomed to Klay being there. So like when you fire a coach and you bring in someone else, you got to start over. You know, your coach is coming in with a new system, new foundation. When you lose a player of that magnitude, because chemistry and camaraderie, I feel like it's so incredibly underrated. Now, if I'm Steph, I have to learn D'Anthony Melton, right? I have to learn Kyle Anderson. I have to learn some of these other guys that I'm not accustomed to playing with. And not only do I have to learn them, they also have to learn me. So I don't want to call it a rough patch, but there will be a time where they have to develop chemistry. And you know what fans don't want to hear? No fan from any fan base wants to hear, you got to be patient, because they all want it right now. Yep. But when you lose someone with Klay Thompson's resume, with all that he's done here in Golden State, man, there's a grace period that you have to offer the Golden State Warriors, and especially the new guys that have come in.
Especially a Buddy Hield, who lit it up for the first two games. We get you out of here, what's your thoughts on Buddy Hield? Because this is his fifth team. And I just keep trying to think, why didn't the Sixers play him in the postseason series when he could shoot the ball the way he shoots it? What about the Indiana Pacers that goes up and down? They play at the fastest pace in the NBA, yet they traded Buddy Hield before the deadline last year. What's your thoughts on Buddy Hield and his fit with the Golden State Warriors?
I'll tell you what's interesting is I heard a stat the other day that was so surprising. When you hear who leads the NBA in three-point field goals made over the last three seasons, your mind automatically goes to Steph Curry. Oh, got to be Steph Curry. Got to be Klay Thompson. And it's actually Buddy Hield, which is wild.
Yeah.
But I think that speaks to his skill set. And here's the thing. I'm not telling you guys something you don't know. Every situation is not the same. You know, the Buddy Hield that you've seen thus far in Golden State may not have or been playing with the same confidence in Philadelphia. Because new situations, a lot of times, sometimes guys need to change the scenery. Mm-hmm. I've played with guys that they'll be in one respective situation and sit the bench and go to another respective situation to be an all-star. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
Because you're playing for a coach that believes in your skill set, one, and also knows how to put you in a position of success, two. All situations aren't created the same. I'm so interested to see, because the thing is, it's not fair to ask Buddy Hield to be Klay Thompson. That's not fair. Even though it feels like it, they have very, very similar skill sets, catch and shoot guys, one or two dribble pull-up guys, but they're two completely different basketball players. I'm interested to see how Steve Kerr maximizes Buddy Hield's ability to shoot that basketball. And if there's a coach that has experience with how to maximize guys that can catch and shoot, I think Buddy Hield's in the right place.
No doubt about it, AD. We'll see. We'll be out there tomorrow. National game today for TNT. But I always love these little double headers. Get two games in the next 2 days. And unfortunately, we missed Trey Murphy tonight. I don't think no Warrior fans are going to say, oh, we missed Trey Murphy. We missed DeJounte Murray. Maybe catching the Pelicans at the right time. But these should be two really good games. Both teams are shorthanded, but trying to find their way in the Western Conference. AD, always good to talk to you, brother.
For sure. Appreciate it, fellas.
Anytime. Antonio Daniels here on the River Islands Guest Line, man. I love listening. He brings so much energy.